Dear Father, we are grateful to you for this opportunity to be alive and to be in your house this morning. We thank you for another month. We thank you for another week. And we thank you for another Sunday, another opportunity to sit at your feet and to learn more of you. Thank you for seeing us through the month of January with all that went along with it. We are grateful unto you. Dear Father, we thank you for last week, your blessings upon us, and your strength, your healing, your blessings, your favor and provision. We thank you for everything you have done for us. Thank you for bringing us to your house this morning. We thank you, O God, for the blessings already in Sunday school. We are grateful to you.
Dear Lord,
thank you for the worship service, the hymns and the choruses that we sang to praise your name. We ask that our worship be acceptable in your sight. In the name of Jesus Christ, bless the sound leader, bless those who sound special, bless the users of instruments, and bless the entire worshipers. Give access to your hand as we continue in this service today. We look up unto you for your grace and mercy, while we are asking that you forgive our shortcomings and failure. Let our sins come under your blood. We pray you look upon us today and cause your mercy, O God, to appear unto every one of us. Those who are sick in the body and not physically present, we ask that you set for your healing hands upon them. Those who are here and weak in the body, may you be their strength. Bless all of us together. The seekers of the Holy Spirit, may they obtain mercy of you today. Meet every one of us at the point of our needs, as we depend upon you for your grace and mercy. And wherever the saints are assembled in like manner, Lord, we pray your grace and your mercy and your presence to be with them. Your servant in Bakata, may you be his strength and make use of him to bless you through him. Thank you, eternal Father. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray with faith and thanksgiving. Lord bless you, can please be seated. Welcome ourselves to church in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you.
just saw Mama Olabi now. I think Ekaba Mama. God bless you, Mama. Matthew chapter 24, read verse 34 and 35. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of this portion of his word. God bless you. You can please be seated and try to keep awake. I've seen 2-3 people battling with sleep in this little class that I made. I think the devil, knowing that he will soon open the book, is already, he has arrived. So, well, may the Lord help us as individuals. This way I want to travel, I think is Papa Evangelist that is familiar much with this sermon, to the best of my recollection. The Lord preached a sermon that he titled The Infallible Word of God. Then he preached another one that he titled The Infallibility of God's Spoken Word. So we'll be traversing with it to sermon, but we will title it The Infallibility of God's Spoken Word. The Infallibility of God's Spoken Word. I don't know. The gospel is the simplest subject that there is. The Bible is the simplest book, and the Word of God was brought simply. Even when Christ was there, the Bible said that common people had him gladly. It's the way it is designed, though it is kept secret to those who are not God's children. But for those who are God's children, it is intended for them to hear it and understand it, like the prophet told us about the days of Brother Paul, that the word of God then was perfectly given, and he said it was also perfectly understood. So, this morning, I just trust what to help me to say something that will help somebody. Because we preach every time we hear sermon. Only one sermon is enough to solve everybody's problem. Just simple one. Not, you see, but no preaching it. We hear it several times in a week, and we also have access to read it ourselves. When it is, when the preacher has finished and they put it in the archive, you can click it there and play it. No, all those facilities there, opportunities are there. But I don't know. The devil just kind of blocked the view of understanding from men. May the Lord remove every veil of unbelief. Now, we all know that the foundation of anything matters. A house, anything you want to talk about, a church, foundation matters. Like the prophet says, if you want to start a church, he says start with the word of God. So any church that is started outside of the word of God or in a poverty way, that church cannot thrive spiritually. I don't care the effort you put into it, it will not thrive. Because the foundation, it matters. And Psalm 11 verse 3 said that if the foundation be destroyed, says, what can the righteous do? No matter how righteous a man is, you cannot do anything beyond the foundation. That is what Brother Paul said. I have laid the foundation, and he laid it on God's word. And he said, let every man be careful what he put thereon. Say, because every man's work will be tried by fire. And the word of a man There is a limit to how you can go to it. Don't swear on somebody's word. You just risk your life. Because Brother Abraham himself said, I can believe you have the Holy Ghost, say, but I cannot swear to it. But when it comes to, especially when we are dealing with unbelievers, you know, when somebody is a Christian, have a long-standing testimony and experience, you can, you know, still beat your chest a little and say, no, this person, this is what I've known him to be. No, you can give that testimony. But when it is an unbeliever, don't put your life in danger by standing for such a person. Because the prophet even says that a man without Christ is worse than a beast. On such a person, you go and put in your life, you will die like fowl. Jesus, in his own day, in Matthew chapter 12, see from verse 33, he was talking to the people after he designed the thoughts of their heart. He said, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. If the tree is good, that is why the fruit can be good. If the tree is corrupt, the fruit will also be corrupt. He was using this parable to talk to human beings because he knew that they are corrupt. The fruit that is proceeding from them is corrupt. Therefore, it means that they themselves, they are corrupt. Where this is coming from is a corrupt mountain. He said, O generation of vipers, how can ye be evil? You can see that he's talking to them. Speak good things. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Say, a man, a good man, out of the good treasure of the heart, bringeth forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, bringeth forth evil things. So a good man has a good treasure. And from that treasure, we bring forth good things. An evil man has an evil treasure. And out of that treasure, he will bring forth evil things. Amen. Say, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. We are trying to talk about the words of man, how unreliable it is. And also it's a warning that the things we speak, they testify of who we are. We can't run away from it. In the book of James chapter 3, like the first 13 verses, we have Brother James said, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not a word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to renew the whole body. If the words of a man does not cause offense, that one has gotten victory. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the sheep, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small end, whithersoever the governor listed. You know, sheep is still bigger than plane. The thing that is loaded in one sheep, all these big sheep, for instance, the Titanic ship, according to the records, 2,200 people were inside, besides luggage. So that led me to say, but as big as it is, Brad Jenkins said, we use small things to control it. Say, they are torn about with a very small air, whithersoever the governor listed. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasted great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindled. Know this man. Where is this thing? He can bring this building down in 1 minute. And you can use this one to also build Boko House. 1 hour, you don't finish the building. And the tongue is a fire, a word of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and had been tamed of mankind. That's why you see lion in the zoo. This one we have here is a controlled zoo. But we have open reserve where we also have animals that span for acres. And different animals are there. But it is with the instruction that when you have to enter that place, a guide is to follow you, number one. Two, in most cases, the people that enter in that place, they are inside a vehicle. They are protected. Or some of this animal we can attempt anything. Elephant can take a car and throw it away. Just wrap that his long something on the car and fling it. If sometimes he carry a lion like that and fling it in. And if he put one leg on lion, until we die, that's how we will breathe it. If you don't remove that leg, that's where the lion will die. Everybody has their limitations. Lion can say, no, that if he's the only one, if we see an elephant, they are guys themselves. It is when they are in convoy that they can do it. What if he's the only one? When you see lion, I mean elephant like this, you move. Alright. But the tongue can no man tame. You tame animals, you tame dog, you tame lion, you tame everything. But this one, nobody can tame it. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. There will bless me God, even the Father, and there will cause women, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and curses. Brother James said, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. God said, doth a fountain send forth at the same time sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear only berries? Either a vine, figs? So can no fountain go ye salt and water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endue with knowledge among you? Let us shew out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. Amen. Man, forget about man much. We are not only talking, I just use that one as a little for you to know the different blood from the ways of man and that of God. God does not have different fancy. He has only one fancy. Only one fancy. Many years back, I saw it on Pastor's door and I copied it. Later I saw it in front of Gideon Bible. It's like a poem. So that time I translated it and printed it and framed it. So this is the writing in there. It is 100% scriptural. Whoever wrote it there was inspired by the Holy Spirit. He said, the Bible contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. He said, his doctrines are holy, his precepts are binding, his histories are true, and his decisions are immutable. He said, read it to be wise. He said, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. Say, it contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's mind, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian charter. Say, here too, inside the Bible, heaven is open, and the grace of earth disclosed. He says, Christ is his grand subject. Our good is his design. And the glory of God is his end. He says, you should feed the memory. He should rule the heart. And then he should guide your feet. He says, read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. It is given you in this life. It will be opened at the judgment and will be remembered forevermore. It involves the highest responsibility. It rewards the greatest level and will condemn all who travel with the sacred contents. Amen. That is this book, the Bible. We want to speak on the infallibility of God's spoken word. What is infallible? Dictionary word said, for something to be infallible means that it is without fault or weakness, incapable of error or fallacy. It is without fault or weakness. There is no capability of error inside of fallacy. That means it's perfect. You can't add to perfection. Perfection is the end. So we want to proceed to look at these things before us. I guess we should get on at a good time. Now the prophet said that in the Old Testament, God speaks to man through three ways. We are familiar with it. Through dreams, through prophets, and the Urim and Thummim. Dreaming is a gift of God. Satan uses it plenty. God also uses it. But the prophet told us that we have to be careful about it because sometimes it can be misleading. If somebody is gifted and he has checked himself for many years and is perfect all the time, we give God the glory. Despite that, don't bind anybody with your dream. A prophet, if it's not a vindicated prophet, whatever he says has to be brought back here and be examined and be proved.
Amen.
So in the Old Testament, God knowing that apart from him giving dreams to some people, you know that Satan also will be giving dreams to people. And
for the people to be sure of which one, whether this one is from God or from the devil. Then God told Moses that he should take the breastplate of Aaron's garment, you know, that is worn on the ephod, that he should hang it there at the temple. If anybody say it has a dream, and there is any prophecy from not a vindicated prophet, they should bring it before this Urim and Thummim and pronounce it there. It has 12 stones, one each of them representing the 12 tribes of Israel. And he said, when the dream is repeated before the Urim and Thummim, or the prophecy is recounted there, and these 12 stones, all of them from A to Z, Reuben to Benjamin, all of them did not spark. There is a supernatural, it is God himself. It is God that will strike it with light. That is why it is called a supernatural light. It is not matches that they will bring from the kitchen, or the lighter that they are, that is filled with gas that they use to spark it. This one is supernatural. Always speak before it. If it is from God, that same God will put light on it, we strike it, and they will see that this one reflected. Then the matter is ended. It is God talking. If she is out of his path and she is keep quiet, he is rejected. Or the only thing you talk and finish, oh, he lay dormant. No matter how much you want to convince, say with my long years of experience, I know what I'm talking about, and the rest of it, and in fact, the other time when I told this person something, that's how it was, this and that, all those things are all fine. But if this is the not spark, all of them are, it means that God doesn't have nothing to do with what you are saying. Are you following me? That is the Old Testament. Now, in this New Testament, the Bible says, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. He said, God, at sundry times and in diverse manner, dreams, prophets, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. He said, but in these last days, spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Who is he talking about here? Jesus Christ. Then who is Jesus Christ? He does not say that there is no gift. All that the God means is that if God wants to use those secondary gifts, secondary avenues, to communicate to somebody, it must never be a loggerhead with this word. This word must confirm it that what the person is saying is the truth. If this word say back it, the thing look like it fits in Genesis, but by the time you reach Matthew, it didn't just blend. Because you can read in the Old Testament where it says, if they slap you here, you yourself, you can give your own back. But by the time you read Matthew, you will say something else. That when they slap you, turn the other one. So somebody has not read the part A and has not read the part B. And he said that is where he is standing. That because they slap him, he said it's not an order. It's not a hating him, he was born correctly. And in fact, when he is a correct father, son of his father, and so forth, they name him the 8th day and the rest of him, all the testimony and the whatever you can accolade, you can give to yourself. Fine, as a result of that one, he give you one, he turn it with two. And I know I'm a son of God. I have the Holy Spirit. We will not follow you to say amen. Let us proceed. Now let me just briefly read from paragraph 24 of the infallible word of God. Then in the Old Testament, there were three ways they could learn whether it was God speaking or not. First by a dreamer. First was the Lord, and then by a dreamer or a prophet. And then if they wanted to test that, to see it was right, on the breastplate of Aaron was a light called Urim. And if a dreamer told his dream or the prophet prophesied and it didn't flash the light on the Urim Thummim, that prophet was wrong. And now, under the Aaronic priesthood, that Urim Thummim was gone, done away with. But under this priesthood, God in sundry times and diverse manners spoke to the prophets, spoke to the children by the prophets, but in this last day has spoken to us through his son Jesus Christ Jesus, and this Bible is God's Urim Thummim. And if a prophet prophesies, a preacher preaches, or a dreamer dreams a dream, or something is done that don't fly on that Bible, I just don't go for it. That is all. Amen. The prophet said, why do I rest my faith on this Bible? Because for you to rely on something, you have to be sure of what you are resting on. Yoruba said, enter for it. Go by it. We will name will. The person that will rest upon, if he wants to shift, he is better in top. Otherwise, if you just sit there and the person just fall down, no, he can cause. In the infallible word of God, paragraph 13, the prophet says, now, you can't rest your faith, as I say, upon just anything. You've got to have some basic facts. And reason that I rest my faith upon this word, because I believe it to be the word of God. And then if it is the word of God, it is God himself in word form. That is right. And now then, if it is God himself, and no one is better than his word, if I write you a declaration here tonight of something that I will do, now I'm no better than that word is. And that word is a part of me. It is my word. And if this is God's written word, it can be no less than God himself, because he is obligated to his word. Now, you believe that? We are building a foundation for something. Just as mortars, whether in a split second or so, we think before we talk. God himself, he thinks before he talks. And God had eternity to do his own planning. Nobody was pressing him. He was not in a hurry. He took his time and planned what was going to do and what was going to say. That is why he has not been going back and forth correcting this and taking this one back. Because it was well planned. He has thought it over and over and over. Amen. In the infallibility of God's spoken word, paragraph 15, the prophet said, before it could be a word spoken, it has to be a thought. The infallibility of God's spoken word, paragraph 15, because a word is a thought made manifest when God speaks. Now, back in the beginning, when God looked down through the corridors of heaven and saw all the things that were going to happen on the earth, did you ever sit and just draw a picture out of your mind? Now, that is the way God did it, perhaps in the beginning. And then it seemed good to him, so he spoke it. And as soon as it was spoken, it became a word. The thought was expressed in a word. Now listen, once God expresses his thought, and makes it a word, it can never take it back. Never. It can never take it back. Oh man, you see it, he can't back up on it. He can't say, well, I'm sorry I made a mistake. He can't. He is infallible. He is omnipotent, which means all powerful. Omniscient, which means all knowing. Omnipresent, which means that his presence is everywhere. The prophet said, his omniscient makes him omnipresent. Because being omniscient, he knows what is going on everywhere at the same time. See, you and I, as we grow along, we become educated and smarter and everything. We advance. The human race advance. Everything advances, but God. Only God does not advance. What I knew 10 years ago is not what I know now. Even what I know last year, there would have been some improvement now. As long as you are mortal, you keep learning. But God does not learn. Who would have been his teacher? Have you ever sat down to think? They say, this one is not a professor. Some professors sat down to give him professor, isn't it? The first professor in the world, who gave it to him? Was he his junior? This is how we study engineering and say, when they are doing induction, there is a point where they have to put on their cap, they have pronounced that you are not an engineer. The person saying that one, somebody also did it for him one time. Who made the first engineer? The first medical doctor in the world, who taught him? In the time of Moses, when God told him to go and build the tent, he told him specifically that this Aholia and this, I have put my spirit in there. God was the original teacher of the engineers, of the builders at that time. God named them, say this at the moment. Not if everybody, don't go and look at them. Somebody that says, lady, forget about the lady. This one, I have put my spirit in them. Of course, the children of Israel, were they learning the Egypt or they were slaves? They were slaves. Amen. Everything advances but God. He was perfect to begin with. He will be perfect when it is all over. He is still perfect. He can't say, well, I've got a better way of doing it because I've learned more. He was perfect to start with. So therefore, teaching divine healing, how could someone say that God wasn't a healer? Well, in the beginning, back under the Old Testament, in the old days, which were shadows, God would have made it perfect then. But he spoke his word into this way, and it has to be that way. And that is the best way out. That is the best way to bring people to it, for he knows what is. Amen. Now, like we said, God thinks before he speaks. If you look at Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, the Bible says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. He says, they are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. I know the thought that I think towards you. He has the program in his hand. I know where I am taking you. I know why I'm guiding you the way I'm guiding you. I know the final end to this problem. I know the solution to this one. I know the answer to this question. But I'm not taking you gradually, gradually. I know the thought I think towards you. It is not of good and not of evil to give you an expected end, to make you to arrive at the destination that I have already predestinated you to arrive at. Amen. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55 verse 8, from verse 8. He said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. He said, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, you know the distance between this earth and heaven? So are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Like the distance between here and heaven. That is the distance between your thought and my thoughts. But this thought, it became what? Let's read the next verse. Say, for the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not hither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that went forth out of my mouth. First of all, he was talking of his thoughts. Now he's talking of the word that go out of his mouth. Because he had thought it first, he said, I know the thought I think towards you to give you an expected end. It is thought of good and not of evil. And he said, my thoughts and your thoughts, they are so far away. Then he now says that the way the rain and the dew come from heaven to water this earth and does not return hither, but water the earth to make it to bring forth and forth, so that I give seed to the soil and bread to the eater. He said, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. We are speaking on the infallibility of God's open word. He has taught it. When he speaks it, he doesn't take it back. He doesn't amend it. He doesn't add to it. He says additional information. But to adjust it because of better knowledge, no way. Then the prophet said this in the sermon, the infallibility of God's spoken word, paragraph 14b. Yes. And when I was coming over, I was thinking of this. The infallibility of God's spoken word. It is just perfect. And if you could only, if this audience, he preached it in the evening, this morning, could only get it settled in their mind of who said this. What this relay is, this spoken word will not need any healing service, will not need any salvation or that call. It will be finished if you don't realize what that word was. If to say everybody and you catch the real revelation of what is being spoken from here, that will be the end of every problem. That will be the end of every secret. That will be the end of anything and pray for the Holy Ghost. Because when you get the perfect revelation, because your thoughts and God's thoughts, they are too far away apart. But when your thoughts can actually come to God's thoughts, and you are thinking what is actually inside this world, the way God himself is thinking about it, that is all. The fire will light. And that's a physics. The next will be testimony. Satan himself cannot block the way of that one. And there's a point that Satan reverses. There is a point that Satan reverses. In the course of About a week or so ago, a brother said the wife wasn't feeling fine, this and that. So he said, can you send me that audio file? That audio something you talk about the letter. So I sent it. So later when we met, he said, when I was playing that, my wife just started to sleep. As I was playing it, she was sleeping because she wasn't getting sleep because of her discomfort. Was sleeping. There is a point that Satan reverses. If you know, we are not kidding here. Neither are we playing games. And we are not on picking ground. If actually the team meets up with revelation, the moment Satan sees like this one, he starts reversing. He starts reversing. There are things he cannot stand. Amen. If this thing can settle in our heart, that will be all. Look at it this way. The prophet said there was a king. One of his slaves committed a crime and he said he was going to kill the slave. And they brought him out on the day he was to be executed. And he was nervous and the rest of it. The man said, steady yourself. You are dying. If there's anything you want to ask of why you ask. After which you will be killed. He asked for a glass of water. Then they gave him a glass of water. And because of the death that lay, he did not purposely throw him down. Because of the day that lay ahead of him, he was shaking. Like someone that had a palsy. He was shaking and shaking. Finally, this water, he couldn't carry it to the mouth. The water just poured out. He threw on the ground. What would the king do? Is it that he will ruin his reputation? We will not be fit to be a king. From that moment on, they will get him off the throne. Or he keep his word and spare his life. Because he has uttered a statement before witnesses that until you drink this water in your hand, I will kill you. And now the water is poured down. He cannot drink it. So what else now? That which means that this slave can never die again. That is mortal. Human being. The brother was debating with somebody when on the word of God when he narrated this story. Just in this sample of the infallible word of God, paragraph 18. So we'll just leave that and then we'll go forward. Because I want us to finish it at a good time. God help us. Now the prophet said, a man's character is shown by his work. And your work will prove who you are. When we are talking about the word of somebody, you and the word, you are the same. We have read that one. Then the prophet is also talking about the works of man. He said, like a contractor. Maybe we play it fast in the valley word of paragraph 19. And a man's character is shown in his works. Or a man's is character by his works. We know that. Just like a contractor shows what he is by his work. For instance, if we were going to have a great building built here in the city of Chicago, the first thing the officials of the city board would do, they would try to select a contractor. Just not anyone that run in and say, well, I can do the job. Alright. They are going to get the contractor that has got a reputation. Of course, when your money, your hard-earned money is good for something, you want to be sure that this money is spent right, isn't it? And now, because if they did it, maybe another contractor will underbid that contractor. No, sometimes in Nigeria, this will come up. That is where they do that work. Say we want to build so somebody will build 1 billion, and that one will build 3 billion. This one is too much. The one on this 1 billion. Your own is good. At the end of the day, they are still going to build the bill up also. Their own on top. But they know that this one was built 3 by that they build it themselves and go to 6 billion. Alright. But if you put in the building, that is the contractor that bid too low now. If you put in the building bad material, and perhaps it will build in thousands of dollars less, and then we come to find out that the building collapse. That is common in Nigeria. Sometimes we kill the owner, sometimes we kill the contractor joining it. Like what happened in Lekki the other time. When the contractor himself was inside the building and his friend, when the thing collapsed. So all of them went with it. The first storm hit it, it went down. What do you think the city would think about that contractor? It ruined his reputation forever. That is right. Perhaps, what if it would have been a school building or something where many children were seated in the school? And the bad material was put in the building, gave way, and collapsed, and killed hundreds of little children. What would those parents think of that contractor? For the love of money, caring not about his reputation, and done a job like that, oh man, they would think he was a horrible person. Wouldn't they? And it would be. No doubt it will have to be what we will call a scallywag. That will do a jig like that. Who sought a good in building that has such a great price that it was to up, it was to hold up. And then with so much in common of little children that had to be seated in there and will go and go buy materials in it. And the first thing you know, the foundations will give way and the way to go. He will be an awful person to do a thing like that. And somebody actually practiced that one that they provide the factory. The C part of this statement, paragraph 19. He says, what do you think the Los Angeles people thought of that contractor who built the St. Francis Dam? There was a contractor that built St. Francis Dam in Los Angeles. About $25 million put in it. A little lower than any other bidders. But all at once, when the flood waters begin to press against the dam, the sandy conditions beneath it wasn't fit right, and the material that went into it was not the right kind of material, and while the valleys lay silent with sleeping people, trusting in that dam, the whole thing gave way, and hundreds of people's lives was destroyed when the water swept down through the valley, taking the lives of the people. This one is a practical one, the government is referring to now. A contract in Los Angeles that built St. Francis Dam. Well, I'm sure whether himself, I don't know what he will do. Whether we commit suicide. There was a tall building in the US that the prophet was riding with somebody in the past, and the prophet was admiring the building, very tall and looking very nice. Then somebody beside the prophet said that nobody is occupying that building. He said, and nobody will occupy it. The prophet said, why? He said, when they were finishing it, he said, that is when they discovered that something is wrong with the foundation. He said, the contractor just climbed up the thing and jumped up from there and commit suicide. Because where is he going to start? How does he face the people? How much is involved? Throughout his lifetime, he can't get such a money. So, what then? Just kill himself. Amen. These are the reasons why God, in putting anything inside this world, He has thought of it perfectly before He put it there. Because His reputation is hanging on it. That is why the prophet says that you believe God, you say you repent, and you did not receive the Holy Ghost. You are making God a liar. Because He said that repent and be baptized in water in the name of Jesus, and you shall. He put shall there. He didn't say may. He didn't say perhaps. He said shall. He said, if anything is sick, let them call the elder of the church, let them anoint him with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. The reputation of God is attached. There may not be the oil may be bought for 200 naira, it does not matter. It is the obedience of God's instruction. That is what matters. What do you think about Naaman, the captain of the host of Syria, with his leprosy, gone through the whole country of Syria, no help? He must have used so many things. No solution until he was told to go to Israel through the handmaid. And when he got there, they told him, the prophet said, you should go and wash in the river Jordan 7 times. Dip yourself 7 times. Because he does not know who a prophet is. Because he does not know the revelation that when the prophet speaks, it is the creator of heaven and earth talking. Once he's a vindicated prophet, it is Jehovah God talking. He was offended. Before the servant warned him, Jehovah, you are going back. What about the leprosy? If you are still carrying the leprosy back, did the man ask you for money? Did he say you should go and do something very big? He said, dip 7 times. Is that your problem? And you don't even give it a try? The girl that told all this, does she not know what she's talking about? You go back like this, your leprosy is still there with you. Then the man put down a little. Well, then he went. We know as the story goes. When we fully obey what that prophet said, was he cleansed? Immediately! He was cleansed. Because the word of God is infallible. Amen. The infallible word of God, paragraph 21, I want to read it. Just, I think it's quite well. Say, God, building the foundation, will put nothing else but the best that there is. Because God is thoughtful of His reputation. You know what reputation is? Reputation is the profile of the person. Is the existence of the person. Is the name of the person. Is the character of the person. Is the prestige of the person. Once it is destroyed, it is destroyed. It becomes valueless. The reputation of God is of this world. He is a God of eternity. He is a God of heavens and earth. He will never put nothing in His architect plan here. But what will stand the test time for eternity? The prophet put amen there. Every material promises that are put in this Bible, He has the signature of God behind it. You can stake your life on it. One time, an infidel was converting people from Christianity to infidelity. He was doing it so much. The prophet said that even when his mother was dying, he told the mother, he said, grin it and bear it. It's an American slang. Enjoy it. The mother was dying. on the dying bed instead of consoling, instead of comforting. That is what he said to the mother. This is infidel. He was talking with ministers. We have ministers are ridiculing God's word, the promises of the Bible. And he went to go and carry some foreign acid. Say, it is written in your Bible that they shall drink poison, do not harm them. Oh, yeah. You say you are a believer? Come and collect. And there was silence in the place. But God wanted to do something. He challenged them. Roy Davis was still a young man there, and he was sitting down in the audience with me. He was sitting beside somebody. At a point, the prophet said the Holy Spirit was moving on. He said, if this man told him challenge one more time, say, I will go and drink it. And the man spoke. If you say you believe, come and drink it, come and drink it. Then Roger David stood up and walked forward. He said, Christian friends, I believe God. He can deliver me and he can allow me to go. Whichever way it be, if he let me go, he said, I will meet you in glory. He said, but I will not stand to allow this infidel to read the God's word. He said, I will not allow it. He collected it, opened it, and dropped every bit down. I will read the quote. Not only that, when he drank it finished, Rabbi said, he preached there for about 1.5 hours or so, until I will mention it, whether 1,500 people or whatever. Received the Holy Ghost there. When he says Jehovah God in power. Now the prophet said, I am not saying Jehovah. Listen. In the message, Lord, show us the Father, and he surpasses us. From paragraph 75b. Says, some time ago, there was an infidel across the country, who I guess 50 years ago, and was converting people from Christianity to infidelity. And when his mother was dying, the only thing that he could say, Ma, grieve and bear it. Oh, what a consolation to give a mother in her death hours. So he went over to England and he had a lot of combat there to infidelity. No preacher would attack him. No, sir. Because he was smart and shrewd. He would just call them down like this. Because most of the preachers. And a friend of mine who stood and even shook his whole foundation. When he stood there with a bottle of sulfuric acid right down in Memphis, Tennessee, and had that bottle of sulfuric acid, he said, any of you here, people here, that are supposed to be Christians, massively said, they shall drink deadly things and it will not harm them. Said, that is what Mark said. Now, if that God is inspired, if it is inspired word of God, drink this sulfuric acid. Some of them said, why? He said, why? You shall not tell the Lord that God. Of course, it's another scripture. It's another scripture. And he said, oh, so I shall not tempt him to ask him anything either. That's infidel talking back. So you cannot tempt him then to ask him anything that he has come. You see, the prophet said he was smart as you. Say, maybe he can't be disturbed. That God can't be disturbed. I'm making fun of them like that. And what thing happened? And we have to tell this too. Why right at if I can? There was a big old country boy sitting back there with their hanging down his neck. Overall jacket on. He just come walking up and thin teeth out there in front, you know, and hair hanging down in his face. He walked right up towards the platform, reached down his overall pocket, and put out a big apple and began to peel it with a knife. The infidel said, "Well," said, "Sir, what do you want?" He said, "I just want to ask you something." He just kept on peeling on his apple. He said, "Well, tell me what you want, or I will have you thrown out of here." He said, "Just a minute. Give me my time." So he peeled the apple and called it, got it ready, put it in his mouth, began chewing on it like that. He said, "I want to ask you a question now." Said, "What is it?" Said, "Is this apple sweet or sour?" Said, "How do I know? I'm not eating it." He said, "That's what I thought." Turn around and walk back to his seat. "How do you know that God hadn't read until you have tasted it?" Fed him. Hallelujah. "How do you know divine healing is not right unless you have put it to a test one time? How do you know the Holy Ghost is not right? You run around with your ecclesiastical jacket on trying to explain all the divine part of the Bible and taking a bunch of theology. How do you know about God if you have not even tasted to see that he is right or not? Be sincere. Be humble before him." That's right. And Dr. David standing there, an old Methodist bishop, was sitting there with this young preacher. A young Lord Davis, he was sitting there with this bishop. Then he said, "Any of you guys?" And some of them, the minister will say, "Man 16 from the ninth verse is not inspired. It isn't inspired. So you can't depend on it." That is the way of escape for some of them. Which that is not correct. That is you are putting God to an open shame. You are crucifying the word of God afresh. In an open place before an infidel. That is not the right answer. Those who are demons that say that that shall not take blood of God, they see talk better. Of course, that is what is fitting for that situation. But this particular day, God wanted to achieve something. He said, "Well, then, I will say over there, come unto me, all you that live and are heavy laden." Matthew 11, 27. Say, "I will say that it's not inspired then." So he had him on a spot. And Roy said, the Holy Ghost begin to move on him. Say, "Stand on there." So he said, so the old bishop said, "If that infidel makes that challenge one more time, if I die in my shoes, I'll go to heaven believing God's word." So he said, "Now listen, son. Sit down. And let him just, he's just pumping on in his brain for him. Let him alone." That's the advice of that old bishop to Roy Davis. That don't try it, just cool down. But the Holy Ghost was moving on Roy Davis. So it was the Holy Spirit moving. So when he made that challenge again, he let out a big arc and held his watch up. If there is a God, say, "I will die in a minute," with his wristwatch watching the seconds. Waited for a minute and said, "Didn't I tell you, wasn't no such a thing?" Like that, they laughed up like that. Roy, when he made that challenge, said, "Why not some of you guys out there that believe God? God is holy. Try this upon it as it says." Now, the prophet said, "Now, I am not telling you people to do that. Did you hear? If you go and do it, we will meet you in glory." Don't do it unless the Holy Ghost is with you. Not that you are filled with the Holy Ghost, so the prophet is saying something else. So unless the Holy Spirit come there and tell you to do it, and be sure that you are so sure that this is the Holy Spirit talking. Because if another spirit tell you, you will die. Hoping you are a believer, will meet you in glory. See? Now I don't believe in taking off serpents. I believe I was baptizing out in the water, and a serpent grabbed me. I throw him out on the back and go ahead and baptize like 4 days or something like that. or somebody sleep poison to me, I will trust God for my healing. That's right. But I don't believe in bringing things, say, come here and I'll show you I can do it. I think that is wrong. That's right. But Brother Davis walked up on the platform. We got a notary public statement on this. He walked up there, he said, Christian people, about 2,000 or 3,000 sitting there. He said, I am 25 years old. He said, I'm a minister of the gospel. And he said, I know that my God is able to deliver me from that. He said, nevertheless, if it does or does not, I will never let that impudence stand there. With that in his hand and challenge God's word, he says, I will meet you in glory. Grab it out of his hand and drag every drop of it right down. Stood here and preached the gospel, and about 1,500 people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, sitting in the meeting. When they see God in another realm, do you know what sulfuric acid is? It was carbonic acid they put on the head of the prophet that peeled his ear, burn it down to the root. Till the day he died, the ear never grew back. If that thing enters everywhere, it's burning everywhere it's going. But he drink this one, everything, it was the word of God that is at stake here. Not just at stake, but the Holy Spirit, God Almighty, came down to say, I will not allow this one today. I want to have into it. My hand will be inside this thing. I will not permit this one to go like this. And move up already. And he collected it, drank it, every bit. The last drop. When he finished it, he started preaching. And the power of God came down. Somebody that drink, that drank acid, sulfuric acid now, preaching with strength. The anointing was flowing. The people threw to the altar. 1,500 people received the Holy Spirit. What do they see? They see that the word of God is real. That is infallible. That when it is spoken out, it can never take it back. Under any circumstances, it's big enough to back it up. If you can get somebody somewhere completely surrendered and yielded, not my thoughts, not my wish, not my opinion, not my ability, not my strength, not what I can do, not my intellect, but I believe this word, giver to giver. Like the man that was blind and he was carrying his Bible up, and they say, Mr. Man, what are you carrying your hand? He said, the Bible. You can't see to read. What is the I want the people to know with the sign that belongs. Even the only Bible that is written on it, I believe it also. Then they ask him something. What about if it is written in this Bible? Say you believe it from giver to giver. If it is written there that you should jump through this wall. He said, if it is written there, I will jump. Say before I get to the wall, God will create a hole for me to pass through. These are men of faith. There are people that know that when God speaks, it's not when Trump speaks. It's not when the president of Nigeria speaks, or any president. It passed like that. An active president, since he has come here a few days ago, he has been shaking the whole nation. I was thinking this morning. I said, this thing is looking like, it's looking like the way it would be, like the elementary of it, in the manifestation of the mark of the beast. Because it is this same US, with the two forms, the civil and the ecclesiastical power. Religious, yes, he goes to speak like the first beast, which is Rome. Because that is where the power is. See the way he's dealing with all the presidents. You do this one. Tell him the whole Canada that is bigger than US to come and be a state under US. They say no. Okay. All the thing you are bringing here, I will put evidence on it. Shaking, there has never been a person like that in Nigeria. I mean, in the US. That did like this. It looks as if he's preparing the ground. We are getting close to something. I was meditating and said, this thing is looking like this thing. It's this way because the word of God, it will come to pass. We have been watching the prophecies of the message all this year coming. But we are entering another realm now. You first of all look at music. Of course, there is a good, interesting part of it. Say, it's backing Israel. Of course, Israel must also take their position. Because that place must be gotten ready for the millennium. Everything is moving and it's moving. Whether it move right or it move left, everything is in God's program. Whether you like it or I don't like it, it doesn't matter. God knows what he's doing. Everything. Because the Bible told us that it's God that raised up kingdom and bring them down. So the man is brought, somebody that should be in jail. Somebody that should be in jail. Whoever commit the crime, he committed and go scot-free to it. And yet they were dilly-dally on the case until he ended up becoming president again. Look! We don't know what God has in mind. When God wants to do something, forget about the norms, forget about the rules, forget about whatsoever. He has a program. Listen, the prophet said, no, that same infidel. Now look at this, the trajectory of this infidel. Look at his CV thus far. Going from country to country, converting people from Christianity to infidelity. Spoke insulting words to his mother while dying. Challenging ministers and all about the Bible. Making mockery of it. But you know, the last state of every mother is in the hand of God. Listen to this, we'll read just as we go forward. That same infidel after coming back, this same one, he wanted to take a rest. And he went out here in the west in Colorado. And he had a camp out there, and he was walking down along the path there one day. And he began walking along. A kind of kind of bad, his head was breaking on him. And he happened to look up there, and the wind was blowing them great big cross hanging in the mountains. He said, wonder if I've been wrong. He got down, he said, oh, ever where you are, who are you? He said, who you are? Said, look at those rocks hanging there. Have I been wrong? Has the water washed them away like that? Or did God place them there like that? What was it? God speaking in his universe. If they hold their peace, the preachers, the rocks will immediately cry out. There, that infidel fell on his knees and gave his heart to God because the rocks was crying out. This infidel that has done so much because he is still a seed of God. Look, when it comes to blasphemy is blasphemy to whosoever God said we blaspheme. Are you following me? Paul said I blaspheme. He said, I wasted the church of God. I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. I was an injurious person. He used a whole lot of things to qualify himself. He said, nevertheless, I did it in ignorance. Oh, buddy. That's it. All that he did, he said, I did it in ignorance. Was he an illiterate? No.
Did he not read the law? And yet he said that he did everything in ignorance. And he has read this law thorough. He said concerning the law, I was blameless. So he was not an ignorant. He was not a novice. He read the word and he knew what the word says. Yes, somebody acting out the present truth in his presence. He supported the people that were killing him. Put the church in Jerusalem to silence. Persecute them to strict cities according to his own word. But at the end of the day, he became the messenger of the first church. This is that same Paul that said, an angel from heaven, say any other thing other than what we have told you, let the person be accursed. That angel. Say, as I said before, say I repeat, even though we come back and tell you anything content of what they have told you, let us be accursed. The prophet said, why does he say that? Say, because he knew that that first word was correct. And he knew God is infallible. God cannot change. He cannot come back and say, I made a mistake. It has been said, it has been said. Amen. Oh, glory to God. The infallibility of God's word. Let's read from paragraph 17 to 20. His actions. This is God's actions. His words. His thoughts. Everything comes from one pure, unadulterated stream of perfection. Now, when he pulls your faith back like that, it becomes simple. God already spoke it. If he said, I am the Lord that healeth all thy diseases, that settles it for eternity. The medical people will classify the diseases. Say this one is cancer, it's incurable. This one is TB, it's incurable. This one is liver cirrhosis, it's incurable. This one is kidney problem, it's incurable. This one is heart, whatever, it's incurable. That is medical. But the Bible said, I am the Lord thy God that is all thy diseases. Because we respect doctors more than we respect God's word. Oh, that is the truth. And that is why many die quick. We respect doctors. One day they will count all kinds of things, give us like this one. Say, swallow it. Swallow this one. You can make a swallow this one, swallow this one, swallow this one. You just begin to swallow it. All these drugs you are swallowing. We believe in going to doctors. We believe in using medication. Are you with me? Because if you doubt, I will read a quote for you immediately. They are available. You don't need to travel anywhere. By the grace of God, all of them are here. You will swallow them. Some of these drugs have things that can kill them. Besides that, sometimes the doctors can make human error. It happens in UCA every day. People die there on a daily basis because of the human error of people. Whether the quantity they give to them, whether the one is the nickel, they just die like that. And they use grammar to cover it. Especially in UCA, if you are admitted there for about 2 months, by the time you are coming back, the drug you come back with your house is enough to open a pharmacy. Why?
The false doctor that come in the morning, he wrote something. You go and buy. The one that come at 11 o'clock, when he adjusts his glasses, what did he do? Who wrote this one? You just brush it and add another one. You stop this one and go and buy that one also. This one you have bought is now your property. The new one is still your money, you go and use to buy it. In the evening and tomorrow morning, that's how they keep changing it like that one. Until by the time you are coming out of the place, you have a garam or dough full of drugs. At least you just be thankful that at least you come out. Because the very world where you are, you see others, they will be sent into the something there. When you see them who cut it and another one. May the Lord be our wife. As you go to hospital, as you go to pharmacies, and you are attended to and you buy drugs and things like that, put God first. Believe God's word. Pray before you use the drug. Sanctify them. I've had to take plenty of drugs in my life. We can say, God, if any of these drugs here, if it's to work negative, don't neutralize the negativity. Let it work positive in Jesus' name. Whether there is mistake there, whether there is anything, like we have just said, Abraham said that if somebody sleep poison or me, say, I believe that God will heal me. So also, if you bless it and you sanctify like that one, if there is a human error, as long as God sees 1-2 years of the surface of the earth, he will neutralize all the other things that is inside. Because the just shall live by faith. It is wrong for you to say you will not go to doctor. Let me read one small quote before we proceed. And the message is the reproach for the cause of the world. Paragraph 156, the prophet says this. He says, sitting a while ago with a little sweet girl here, for I combed that family through to see if there was anything wrong. God will heal, but it is under conditions. See, only thing I found, this combing the prophet talk about, is disarmament. Are you with me? He said, only thing I found was the mother afraid it was wrong to take medicine. I said, don't you think that, sister? Get that out of your mind. Go right ahead with the child. Give it the medicine. God will make that known. Amen. There are people that came to the prayer line. God will ask them to go and do surgery. That will be successful. So God will say, you don't need it again. You cannot dictate to God. That's why the prophet said that God heal by mercy, he heal by love, he heal by understanding, he heal by surgery, he heal by this one. He said, whichever way healing comes, they are all from where? From God. But if anybody says, me, my faith is whatever, and I don't let your faith, I will not stand in your way if your faith is very high. But to buy you, who will meet you in glory. Amen. There is no age that we have balanced message like our God. The message is balance. Took care of everything that you don't need to think whether, no. All the ingredients are complete. Amen. All right. So the prophet says, that settles it for eternity has to be When he speaks it, he can't take it back. He can't say, well, I made a mistake, because he is perfect. There can't be a mistake from eternity to eternity. He is pure forever. Oh my, when he said, I will, that settles it. Ask and you shall receive. That settles it. Ask the Father anything in my name, I will do it. That settles it. That is forever. The word is expressed. You say, that was Jesus. God said, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him. All rights and power, everything is vested in Jesus Christ. That body, Jesus Christ, is the one that is carrying 100% the eternal spirit of God. He is inseparable. The body is Jesus, the spirit is God. Amen. As I said last night, the prophet said, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. But Jesus said, I say unto you. He never said, thus saith the Lord. Not thus saith the Lord. He was the Lord. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He was the Word. Now, notice how perfect it was, because before the foundation of the world, Jesus was already slain. The Bible said he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. How was he slain? The very minute God spoke the word, it was settled forever. The seed was planted, and it had to come to pass, because he can't speak nothing but the unadulterated truth. See, that is all. And if he said he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, that is the very moment that God perceived the thought. As he thought it, it is settled. And the thought was created by God himself, and the very time God makes a thought, it's a creation. And he speaks it, it becomes a reality. So every word of this Bible is God's spoken creative thought. God spoken creative thoughts. Amen. And every time it is taken into the right ground. What is the right ground? It is the heart of faith. The heart that believes this word, that God cannot lie. When you are coming to church, you must come with a determination, having scripture, promises that you are standing upon concerning what you are coming to ask. That is why it is good to come to church by 7 after 7. Some people are already reading down there, they are praying. That's how we spoke about lateness the other time. May God have mercy upon us. If you hold those promises like that, God knew when we are holding that promise. He knew. When that faith reached a level, and say that this will dress back. He will dress. As you see devil like that, he is scared. He is very afraid. The prophet demonstrated it to us by a man that had a dream. Said in his dream he saw an old devil. Said it was initially a little bitty devil. But this little bitty devil said boo to him. Then he was afraid. Then he moved back. And then that thing become bigger. Then he said boo. And each time you step back, his muscles get bigger. Once he knows that you are afraid of him, he has conquered you. That is what is going to be bombarding you. He knows that you are already afraid. If you are fighting somebody in the physical fight, and the person is afraid, no matter how much muscle he has, you will finish him. Because he is afraid. Power doesn't go with faith. I mean with fear. Amen. He said, go again. He moved back. He saw the thing bigger again. Until he was very small now. He himself was reducing in stature. And this one was increasing in stature. And he knew that he hasn't got an option but to face this thing and fight it. Then he said that boo. When he said boo was, then he saw that that thing also jumped back and he said, hey, is this the system? Ah, okay, then boo. Then he was getting bigger. This one was getting boo, 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 boo. Then until it was very small. He started from a little bitty devil. Until he became a giant before him. Because he was scared. He was afraid. And he was jumping back. The word of God, we have brought it several ways. The two children of Attila, 14 years, they were taking the Lord's Supper. What he feed with the pastor, laying hand on the pastor, praying for the pastor. Because the work has been done. Whether on a small girl, on a small boy, or even is the same thing. And that can happen to whosoever. That can come pray for, come believing, taking God at his word, put the scripture, I've said it one time. If you know you are looking for the Holy Ghost, forget about trying to understand the seven seas. Look, you are wasting your time. The thing you need to understand is the prophecies about the Holy Ghost. That is the first subject that you need to face. I'm not saying you should not read the sermon of the future hopes of God. But if you know the dimensions, it doesn't do you any good except you have the Holy Ghost. The prophet says that is the fourth doctrine of Jesus Christ. Without the Holy Ghost, you will not understand it well. It will be only acknowledged without revelation. But for somebody that already had the revelation, as he's following the person is already seeing himself in a where position place inside that city. You that don't know whether you will go or you don't go, we are waiting to consign you about that. It's the only thing that brings assurance. But as simple as God is, it's possible for you to receive the Holy Ghost even in your house, even in the car, even at the family altar, even before the service. It is so possible. Not to talk of when you are hearing the word of God. The prophet said that the sermon on the day of Pentecost was not more than 50 minutes sermon, and it brought 3,000 in. May the Lord be our head. Because the people simply believe it. That's all. And God is not looking for the righteous. He's looking for sinners to be saved. Amen. Alright. Man. Okay. Then all these books drop away, every shadow moves, and we stand anchored. Nothing can shake you then. All the superstitions are up and down is passed away then. We are right on the wall. God can't do nothing but honor that word. He has to keep it. It is in the word of God. The Bible said it works, and it is God's eternal, everlasting word. And to know how perfect he is, then how can he act this way in this crisis and turn around and deny that and act another way in the same crisis? When a person is crying for mercy and he acts this way and he's there and their faith looks to him and they believe him with a pure, unadulterated faith, believing in him, and he acts that requirement, if you can believe, you can be healed. And then it turns back over here, and this man said, Lord, you know my heart, I believe you. And then God will do it. He couldn't be God and do that. Can he be God? The prophet said that one thing God can never turn down is that cry of mercy. Anybody that is crying for that mercy from the depth of his heart, and there is nothing between him and the Savior, the person will break protocol. Even if it is God that put the protocol there himself, that call of mercy overrides it. Amen. He couldn't be God that do that. He has to act the same way he did here or he did wrong here. Then if he don't run, he's not God. So there you are. Is it infallible? Then it's just like we will be. You have to say, well, I acted that way, but I made a mistake there. See? But I won't make the mistake over here. See? God can't do that and be God. He has to be God forever. He has to be the same forever. He has to act the same way every time. And he does do it. And I've seen him proving over and over and over again that I know he does. Amen, amen. The prophet says, whatever God promises, he makes a way for it. Anything he promises, he makes a way for it. The provision is already down before he made the promise. But I tell you, come and see me, I will give you 1,000 naira. I'm not talking of 1,000 naira that I'm thinking somebody will send to me. If I make a promise being that I'm not even sensitive. Or when you come, I've just used the money. What am I saying? Before God make any promise, he already has the deposit for it. That is why the prophet said that when somebody even becomes a Christian, he said the person is giving a blank check, booklet you cannot finish. He said Jesus Christ has signed every leaflet there. He said what you need on daily basis, or if it is the frequency of hours you need it, just fill it and then you drop with the Bank of Heaven, not the Central Bank of Nigeria. Not World Bank, not ADB Bank, not International Bank, not IMF. We are talking of the Bank of Heaven that have inexhaustible resources. Say that we all know it. Every promise in this Bible, God is backing every bit of them. Just only who will believe it. That is the simplicity. But that is to believe it. Now, wahala. It's easy for us to say, yeah, amen. But when it comes to practical, where is the faith? May the Lord be aware. Amen. Yeah, we will close soon now. We are running out of the infallibility of God's spoken word, paragraph 36. Say, and if along the road something is done, testing and trying, your trial, tightening as you go along. Remember, his angels will bear you up. Angels to comfort you. Angels to give you faith. Angels to move you along. God has got a host of angels all up and down the ladder. Hear them. You are in the path of duty and your faith is failing somehow and you are sincerely trying to go after God. There are angels. When Peter look at Jesus on the water coming, say, Jesus, are you the one or somebody else? If I don't beat me, come. Jesus said, come. And he came out and I was walking. Then he looked this way. He looked this way. This is Jesus here. He looked this way. Then he saw the, have you ever been to the ocean? And see how the beach used to come like this. Some people that move too close, he used to pick them and take them away. Some of them, before he returned their body, already dead. He returned many alive. Some of them, he bring their dead body back because they move too close. There is a limit where you move. So I want to see too much. Let's leave that one. So Peter looked this way. He saw the water boisterous was coming. You, who will deal with you? You, you know, be Jesus. You. But this is Jesus here that gave him instruction. He's looking at something else. As long as you are looking to God's word, Satan will try to bring what, but as he's bringing, you are returning. It's your own you are talking. This is what me I believe. That is your own you are talking. I said it before, go and look at what is the Holy Book. Brother Abraham said, when Satan came to him and began to tell him about Jesus and the somebody like Billy Graham, he opened his mouth and talked back to Satan. Say, who are you that is talking to my subconscious? Then he begins to ask him questions. When he asks him questions, meeting Satan with the word, then Satan moves back. He can move back. Now he has to make a way for this. And he made it through Christ. Every time that God made a promise, he has to make a way for this promise. Amen. And on the prophet make expansion. Let's leave that. Now the prophet says something here. How a believer acts on what they believe. This same sermon of the infallibility of God's spoken word, paragraph 22. Say those who he has caught, he had already justified. Those who he has justified, he had already glorified. That's right. There is where we get grace and works mixed up. Here is the whole thing in the Arminian and Calvinistic belief. Grace is what God does for you. Work is what you do for God. See, it is grace that brings you to God. It is work that you do for God. Now, as Abraham was justified by faith because he believed in God, Paul justified him by faith. James turned over and justified him by works. But Paul was speaking what God saw, and James was speaking what man saw. When we preach, you say amen. That is what man sees. By the confession of your mouth, you are saying you believe.
Okay.
But there is a practical aspect that also we have to look at. Now the prophet said, if you say you are a believer and then act contrary to what you say, then you are not a believer. See? If you take a yes and now solemnly believe, brother, you can't do nothing but act the same way you believe. That's right. You say, Lord, my hand is crippled, but something in my heart tells me that you are the Lord that has healed me. Oh, I believe it, God, with all my heart. You can't do nothing but hold that hand, move a few inches every day. If it is true that faith is there, then your expectation is there that this hand must obey God's word. And because your hand is holding this word, and you are actually, you will just see this hand, God will make your body, the prophet says, to obey your confession. You will see that hand getting life every day. Don't tell me that when somebody has that type of sickness, it doesn't improve. You are talking Satan's language. This is the word of God's language. I don't care the style of sickness it is. As long as it is hold of God's word, don't say the prophet here, which is don't say the Lord. He said the hands will move inches every day. You can't do nothing but hold that hand move a few inches every day. See? That is it. You can't do nothing else. And God is obligated to that word to watch over it. Yes. The infallibility of God's spoken word. Say, the word that has gone out of my mouth shall never return unto me void. But they will accomplish that which I please and prosper in the thing whereunto I have sent it. If he goes out, he must deliver the job. He can't come back and say, I didn't meet the person, I cannot tell you. No. Not God's word. When it goes like this one, it destroys every obstacle on the way. Everything, it destroys on the way. Oh, that was why when Daniel did a prayer and then God granted the answer and the king of Persia went and blocked the way. Of course, a believer will not stop praying until you receive your request. And then at a point, this Daniel, has he not finished, Gabriel, he not finished delivering the message. He look at and he keep your partial duty. What is all this one? A message that I did that sent for me. Then Michael, which is Jesus Christ and is a jelly for, then he step out. As the king of Persia was looking at him like this one, the anointed cherubim that covered it, he just shifted. Then Gabriel went down to go and deliver the message. If you have a need, if you have a request that you are trusting God for, sometimes I don't need to know the whole statement. Neither do you also need to know, because you might have been forgetting what the whole statement is. Now we don't have a prophet here who can go and trace our life and chase it out. Let's put that on one side. It is not my fault that I was not alive when William Brown was here on earth. If he was here on earth, whatever it costs me, if it is possible, I want to reach where he is. If I go to embassy, I want to go to your embassy. I only want to see the prophet of God. They have a problem. He's the only one that has answer to it. That's what I will tell them there. Once I see him, I finish, I come back here. Abi, can you meet my need? You, the embassy, the consular general. Do you have a solution to my problem? I want to go and see the man of God there. Have you not read the Bible? It's not my fault that I was there. We used to say that God will remove every obstacle. What actually is the obstacle? Did you know the obstacle? If you know, remove it. If you know the obstacle, then remove it. But if you don't know the obstacle, don't assume that there is obstacle. If you only that there is obstacle when you are not sure of any obstacle, you will never leave that point. But when you know the obstacle, then you remove the obstacle because you know the obstacle. Look at those promises. Read it to yourself. Believe it. Hold for it as a matter between life and death. And be pointing your finger to and say, you God, you cannot lie. You are the one that put this one here. And you put it for me, for my sake. That's how you put this one here. How can I be here and Satan is robbing me of your blessings? It cannot happen. I am here to receive this your blessing. This your promise, but remember to face my life. You are the only one that can solve my problem. You are the only one that can meet my need. Outside of you, there's no solution. Point to him as long as you don't remove your hand from that promise. Heaven is shaking. Because the reputation of God is at stake. God will be left with no obstacle. Then they move down. Let the king of Persia block the way. Michael is still there. That's standing for his people. He will rise up and fight for his children. Because the word of God is at stake. His reputation is at stake. Heaven and earth will pass away. A job of God's word will never go out for free. It is thus said the Lord. The infallibility of God's word for all. Shall we rise up on our feet? Thou canst believe, all things are possible. I don't need to know your problem. I don't need to know your need. I don't know any obstacle anywhere. There is one God. We have his word with us here. The word that is gone out of his mouth. Is he the one that made the promises? Or are you the one that put it there? He's the one that made the promise. He said, ask, you shall receive. He said, seek, you shall find. He said, knock, it shall be opened unto you. You are not the one to open. Your own is to knock. And the Bible says, knock is your constant layer, you are asking. You don't allow him to rest. Luke chapter 18, Jesus himself, he gave us the parable of that woman, widow woman, and the unjust Joseph. Say, this woman almost is weary me because of her continual coming. I have to answer her. Lest she weary me. And Jesus said, hear what the unjust just said. Do I not fear God? though I don't regard any person, but look at this woman. Because of her continual coming, lest she weary me, continually come and weary God. If Jesus has called that, so you then weary God. Say, God, you put this in your word, you have not answered me. I don't see the manifestation. I am here for it. Answer me. Hear my prayer. Listen to what I am saying. It could be for yourself, it could be for your wife, it could be for your husband, it could be for your children, it could be for whatsoever. Everything is in God's word. Heaven and earth shall pass away. Angels out of this world shall never go unfulfilled. The infallibility of God's spoken word. Has he spoken? And shall I not perform it? Has he declared? Shall I not make it good? Anything that goes out of his mouth. The prophet said that God is guilty of any promise he made until he bring it to pass. He is guilty until he bring it to pass. Any promise he made. If you believe with all your heart, if you surrender yourself unto him, if you trust him with everything that is in your heart, and you, there is nothing again that you have not surrendered. Your will, your prestige, your personal opinion, your understanding, you surrender everything and take God's understanding and take God's word and take God's instruction and hold to it as a matter between life and death. Our God is bigger than every problem, than every situation. God is more concerned about the fulfillment of his promises than the way we are concerned. Because his reputation is what is at stake. Infidels are mocking. Mockers are mocking. Agnostics are mocking. Unbelievers are scoffing. Scoffers are scoffing. But Jehovah God, he watches over his word to perform it. And the angels are there on guard to see that nothing fall on the ground out of the word that come out from God's mouth. Which of them promises are you expecting now? Which of them promises do you believe that it is yours? Which of the promises is relevant to the need that you have? Do you believe the word of God to be absolutely the truth? As a matter between life and death, do you know that God will never take back his word, what he has promised you? If thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe it. Because God's word will never fall to the ground. If there is someone that would like to be remembered in prayer, you just lift up your hand. We have people here at the altar. That request that you have, there is a promise behind it in the world. God is looking at that promise. Then he's looking at your heart. He's just waiting for that faith to spark. Once that faith spark, he will not wait any longer 1 second. You will see the manifestation. Gracious eternal Father, we thank you for the privilege to know you as our Father. We thank you for your divine program that you laid out. We thank you for including us in your program. Lord, just as you said, there is no age where the program is so laid out perfectly like this, with every ingredient that we have in us. It's so wonderful. And we are compassed about with cloud of witnesses, the things you have done since the beginning of the world. No wonder that the scripture said that this is a written for our examples. We that at the end of the world have come to, that we might look at them and be able to believe. Righteous Father, we thank you. Master Jesus, we want to say from the bottom of our heart that we know you as the supreme being, the creator of heaven and earth, the infallible God, the God that cannot make mistakes, the God that is all powerful, the one that cannot take back his word. When you speak, it's nothing will stand on his way. We thank you for great things you have done in the scriptures, great things you did in our generation. Look at Roy Davis. In the level of his faith, you move upon him. Your prophet says it was the Holy Spirit that moved upon him. And your presence was made manifest. And your word was glorified. And your name was glorified. And 1,500 people received the Holy Ghost when they see you come in power. Gracious eternal Father, this level that your word has come to us today, you know the hearts that your spirit is moving over, that are ready for your blessings, because they see that your word truly is falling. You see, as the rain comes from heaven and it dews to this earth and does not go back, but water this earth, brood over it, to make it to brood and to bring forth, so that I might give seed to the soil and bread to the eater. He says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. He said, they will never return unto me void. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Gracious eternal Father, these delegates of heaven, they believe you. They have needs, and they are looking at your word, your promise, concerning their needs. While his copper is coughing, they are believing your promise. Lord Jesus, it is written in your word that the expectation of the righteous shall be granted. Oh, Master Jesus, bring your word to manifestation in their life, in the name of Jesus Christ. Put the devil to shame. Break his backbone. Disgrace him one more time. Show forth your glory. Show forth your power. Don't seek it for the Holy Ghost. While you are not in presence here with us, may the seed in their soul pay for to life in the name of Jesus Christ. Those who are sick in their body, whether physically present or listening online, distance is no barrier to your word. Righteous eternal Father, may the quickening power of the Holy Spirit quicken every weak body. Take away sicknesses and afflictions. Make your people well and whole. You pay for it on the cross of Calvary. It is written that you are wounded for our transgressions. You are bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon you, and by your stripes we are healed. May it come to pass in every body, in the name of Jesus Christ. Satan, move back your fear from God to you. In the name of Jesus Christ. When they ask on the day of Pentecost what they will do to receive, you give them a simple answer, a simple solution. You ask them to repent. There are people here that have repented. And be baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ. There are people here that have been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ after repentance. And you say they shall be filled. Lord Jesus, that is your word. Heaven is watching over that world to perform it. Dear Jesus, the only obstacle we may have is unbelief. Believing your word as clear doubt and unbelief. May the Holy Spirit take effect in the heart of your Jesus. From today, may they see the manifestation. May the glory of God shine forth. May the power of God be made known. May be displayed one more time. Grant it, King of glory. The testimony of your word cannot stop until you come back here. Raise your testimonies out of your sons and daughters in the name of Jesus Christ. Blessed be your wonderful name. May the power of the enemy be broken in the life of your people. Thank you, Father. Both those at the altar and those that raise up their hand, thou art God. You look at every heart to attend to them. That is why even the prayer request, the pillar of fire will lead the people to go and look for other belief. As many as believe here, may they have all their requests. Thank you, gracious Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. May the blessings be permanent in our life. Thank you, King of glory. When we go back to rest a while before the next service, rest our mortal bodies. Bless our food. Bless our water. Bring us back again for more of your blessings. Thank you, gracious Father. Jesus mighty name, we pray with faith and thanksgiving. The Lord bless you. We dismiss straight away and back. What we need by 2 o'clock. Hymn number 61. Jesus is my Savior. I shall not be mocked.